For the open mic, we want to keep the poems short poems, please, not long poems. If it's going to be a long poem and you're like two sonnets into it, I'm going to gently come along and grab the mic from you. Sorry, you should try and squeeze everyone up. Lisa, please choose a shorter piece.
My name is.
Huh?
My name on the list.
It might be.
Never know.
Could we please have, to the mic, Sue Cosgrave.
All right.
There's a gentleman in the back who was from Romania, and he's a poet, and that's his collection of poems, and his name is Constantin Calugaru, I think. Am I pronouncing it right there? I think, maybe? Anyway, he's gone. Oh, he's gone. Okay, right, and he left this behind. Okay. Right. Anyway, so I promised to read his poem. It's in English here. He's translating himself. It's a very short one. It's called Life. When I woke up in the morning, I found an apple under my pillow, put there by my mother. The river was passing through my fingers. Thank you.
Aww. Thank you, Sue. Next up, we have Jude O'Neill.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more tempered. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a day. And sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou boast. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
No guesses who that was. Okay. What number was the sonnet, though? Yeah. Who knows what number the sonnet was?
I should know.
Nobody knows. Well, nor do I. So you're not too close. What number is it?
18.
Sonnet 18. There you go. Thank you, Jude. Next up, can we have Richard Pierce to the mic, please?
Hello, I'm reading a poem by Bernadette Gallagher, who I just met. I'm just read the
poem.
Well, how are things in heaven? Better than in 1916 when you were born. Humans fighting humans. Are there quarrels amongst the shades? Does he who shouts loudest get heard? Have you met Robert Tressel, whose book sustained you? He who died a pauper yet unpublished. How many others have you met who died on some or poor? How are Remembrandt and El Gecko? And how fares William Blake, who was buried in an unmarked grave? Have you heard the music of Vivaldi and Mozart? Do those who die poor, genius or not, walk beside those wealthy, intelligent or not? Oh, if only the ways of heaven, hell, and purgatory were applied here, what a comedy it would make.
No. Thank you, Richard and Bernadette. Next up, could we have Patricia Walsh?
So I'm going to take you back to the origins of the English language. This is an old English poem called Deor. I'm not going to trouble you with the original, but we'll provide translation. This verse comes with this refrain called that went away, it is also May, and it's kind of a message for people that if you've ever gone through a hard time, don't worry, things get better. So here it is. Well, then the strong man had experienced persecution. He suffered a lot. Sorrow and longing with his companions, long exile in poor winter. He experienced misfortunes after neither had laid constraints upon him. Supple bonds of sinew and a better man. That went away this also may. In Bianca's mind, her brother's death was not as grieving as her own situation. When she realized she was pregnant, she couldn't fathom the outcome. That went away this also may. Many of us had heard that Gaeth's love for Mithild passed all bounds, that his love robbed him of sleep. That went away this also may. For 30 years, Theodoric ruled the stronghold of the Marines, which has become common knowledge. That went away this also may. We have learned of Eomer Rex's ferocious disposition. A cruel man, he had dominion in the kingdom of the gods. Many mans, full of sorrow, anticipating trouble and constantly praying for the fall of his country. That went away this also may. If a man sits in despair and deprived of joy with gloomy thoughts in his heart, it seems to him that there is no end to his suffering. Then he should remember that the wild lord follows different courses throughout the earth. To many grants glory, certainly, yet misery to some. I will say this about myself. Once I was the minstrel of the Hiodingas, my lord's favourite. My name was Deor. For many years I had an excellent office and a gracious lord. Until now, Yurenda, a skillful man, has inherited once given to me by the protector of warriors. That passed away, that's also me. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. We have one of the two international judges of the international competition here tonight. Marie Coveney is not here, but Colm Scully is here. Colm, come on, please.
I love poems about science, and I'm going to read a poem from a book called A Quark for Mr. Mark, 101 Poems About Science. And it's by R.S. Thomas, who was a Welsh clergyman. And there's one character in it, Eddington. Eddington was a physicist. He was a contemporary of Einstein. It's called At It. I think he sits at that strange table of Eddington's. That is not a table at all, but nodes and molecules, pushing against molecules and nodes. And he writes there in invisible handwriting the instructions that genes follow. I imagine his face, that is more the face of a clock, and the time told by it is now, though Greece is referred to, and Egypt, an empire has not yet begun. And I would have things to say to this god at the judgment, storming at him, as Job stormed with the eloquence of the abused heart. But there will be no judgment other than the verdict of his calculations, that abstruse geometry that proceeds eternally in the silence beyond right and wrong.
Thank you, Colm. Next up we have Philip Spillane.
Dreams by Lancer Hughes. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. Next we have Mary O'Connell.
This is a riposte to Philip Larkin's poem, This Be the Verse. It's actually by Adrian Mitchell, and it's called They Talk You Up. They talk you up, your mum and dad. They read you Peter Rabbit, too. They give you all the treats they had and add some extra just for you. They were tucked up when they were small. Pink perfume, blue tobacco smoke. By those whose kiss healed any fall, whose laughter doubled any joke. Man hangs on happiness to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. So love your parents all you can, and have some cheerful kids yourself.
Thank you, Mary. Next, we have Seamus Harrington.
Well, this could be a prelude to Mary's poem by E. Cummings. May I feel, said he. May I feel, said he. I'll squeal, said she. Just once, said he. It's fun, said she. May I touch, said he. How much, said she. A lot, said he. Why not, said she. Let's go, said he. Not too far, said she. What's too far, said he. Where you are, said she. May I stay, said he. Which way, said she. Like this, said he. If you kiss, said she. May I move, said he. Is it love, said she. If you're winning, said he. But you're killing, said she. But it's life, said he. But your wife, said she. No, said he. Oh, said she. Tip top, said he. Don't stop, said she. Oh no, said he. Go slow, said she. Come, said he. Said she. You're divine, said he. You're mine, said she.
Ben Burns.
This is a song by Syd Barrett called Dark Globe. Oh, where are you now, pussy willow that smiled on this leaf when I was alone? You promised a stone from your heart. My head kissed the ground. I was half the way down, treading the sand. Please, please lift a hand. I'm only a person with armbands, beads on his hands hang tall. Won't you miss me? Wouldn't you miss me at all? The poppy birds sway, swing twigs, coffee brands around, brandish a wand with a feathery tongue. My head kissed the ground. I was half the way down, treading the sand. Please, please, please lift a hand. I'm only a person with Eskimo chains. I tattered my brain all the way. Won't you miss me? Wouldn't you miss me at all?
Yeah.
Bernadette Gallagher, please.
This poem is by Tim Dwyer. First Martyr, 1916. Francis Sheedy Skeffington, 1878-1916. Shot at Portobello Barracks. You would have blended well, unkempt beard and bohemian clothes, outside my college library, while Vietnam was in its death throes. Talking on the steps until dusk, as with Joyce at century's turn. Ireland free from iron hands of church and state. You went beyond the words. Beaten by Hibernians during the Dublin lockout, for leading hungry children to ships sailing to England. Beaten again as you campaigned for full rights of Irish women. Militant pacifist, humanity first. On Easter Monday, under fire, you ran to aid the first wounded British soldier. Then the ruthless order of a criminal commander would end your young life. They used you as a human shield as they subdued the remnants of the rising. No trial or firing squad. Shot like vermin, they stuffed your body in a burlap sack, submerged in a pit of lime. The man is memorialized who campaigned with dynamite. Are you remembered, the man who fought with peace?
Thank you, Bernadette. And now we have Rosaline Blue.
Guess who I'll be doing? Right, the people who know me know that I'll be doing August Tramm, because I have been translating, I have published translations of his poetry last year, and he was born in 1874 and fell in 1915, so it was a centenary commemoration, and there are love poems. And I chose, because I taught about him this morning in UCC, I chose a short one that I did for the first time as a performance this morning. I'm going to try and cast my voice enough for this mic to catch it while I go into my movement action.
Freudenhaus. Lichte, Dirnen aus den Fenstern. Die Seuche spreitet an der Tür und bietet Weiberstöhnen aus. Frauenseelen schämen grelle Lache. Mutterschüsse gähnen Kindestod. Ungeborenes geistet dünstelnd durch die Räume. Scheu im Winkel, Scham zerpört, verkriecht sich das Geschlecht.
Translation following right up.
Pleasure House. Lights wanton from the windows. Contagion sprawls at the door and poses holes moaning out. Women's souls blush lurid laughter. Mother wombs gape infant death. The unborn vaporly sprites between the rooms. Shy in the nook, shame disraged. The genus shrinks away.
Thank you, sir. Next we have Gabriella D'Souza.
For tonight, I bring you a Portuguese poet called Fernando Pessoa, who has lots of his works made in, written in English by its root, so there won't be the need of a translation. It's a sonnet, it's a short poem followed immediately by a sonnet. I hope I understand my own handwriting though. I am the escaped one. After I was born, they locked me up inside me. But I left. My soul seeks me through hills and valley. I hope my soul never finds me. Whether we write or speak or do but look, we are ever unapparent. What we are cannot be transfused into word or book. Our soul from us is infinitely far. However much we give our thoughts, the will to be our soul and gesture it abroad, our hearts are incommunicable still. In what we show ourselves, we are ignored. The abyss from soul to soul cannot be bridged by any skill of thought or trick of seeming. And to our very souls, and to our very selves, we are abridged when we would utter to our thought our being. We are our dreams of ourselves, souls by gleams, and each to each other dreams of others' dreams. So, thank you.
Thank Gara, Carrera. And now can we have Cedric Bicorn?
So this is a poem from Edouard Baudouin. It's a winning poem from the 5-word challenge on the 29th of June 2015. She says it again, a little louder this time. Poor Jack. And this time, he hears her. He takes in the word, chews the word, rolls it around in his neo-imperial mouth, tastes it. Poor Jack, he says, back to her, with a slow, torturous roll, stretching the syllables to their breaking point, like they are his prisoners now, and they will tell him what they know.
Next we have Joe Harding. Hey.
For 9 years of having poetry. I'm going to say two poems because I was here the first night. So.
I think one of the words was defenestration.
This one's called This City. When I was young in the 60s, everybody was going away to London and Cork was a palace of place. This poem was written by Cavati in 1894. It's called This City. You said I'd go to a different country, cross the sea, find another better city than this one. Here, everything I do is wrong, and my heart is dead and buried as a corpse. How long should my soul suffer here? Wherever I turn, anywhere I look, I see the burnt cinders of my life here, where I've spent too long doing nothing. You'll find no new sea, no new country. This city will always dog you. You'll roam the same streets, go grey in the same houses. You'll always end up here. Forget anywhere else. You've no ship, no road. The life you wasted here, you wasted everywhere. And this one is by John Liddy from Limerick. It's called Scarecrow. I thus have written it. I have heard the eggs crack in a wren's nest, the wind snap at the tip of every sting. Once there were two spiders and a quilt of toasted leaves, each with its own blueprint, its own invisible way. One hunter I knew could kill a fox before his gun dog sniffed the scent. I have seen a river dog fall free from those stones, born on riverbeds, and challenged the battering course of another journey. I have cheered the walk and tumble of a foal in her mother's blood, cursed those boots that crushed the ripe stalks of my pride. I am a scarecrow, nailed to old wood, eaten by worms, paralyzed by rust.
Thank you all. Next we have Patrick Connor.
Okay, 99 times out of 100 when you come across the word cardinal in a poem by an American, it actually refers to a bird of red plumage and not a prelate of a Roman church. So this is a poem by Lo Kuan Mayen, a young American poet in her 20s, who already has 2 books published. This poem is called Man o' War. man of war was in his day, a very famous racehorse and breeding stallion. Before a field locks its horizon in place, a martial claw of cardinals freckles the sky half red. Before a sea change can bolt the chambers of your 16-handed heart, the ghost of long grasses is hauling behind it a blanket of perennial trophy. The meadow ghost is so deep it turns itself out. Before the god of the wild miles, of gorgeous and brutal unshod grace can come for you, her flank as high as yours, and burning higher than the fires of photographic light. Bulbs of velvet gold wink in the insect night like meteors sailing, each mate a larval ocean, tossing beneath the constellation like your head in a hold. The ghost of Plato says even the chestnut blade of your face was once dirt of a star, a bold specimen from a giant long gone. Before the females feed knowing in the fields, unparalleled gods, early ghosts slipping into dawn. You are old, you slid into the stalls like a beloved bullet and then out. Out, out, muddy sparrow brightly spat at you. Who will head stunning suns in what nobody calls a circle. Nobody buys a singular loss can settle you to the knees. Before the god of war, you kneel in blown Kentucky blue. She is a trigger, she a colour of dove of endless miles, her skull a moon outstretched, her nostrils at your neck bleed two hot banners of breath. The grass sweats gold. Fences turn to ghosts of mythic costs, padlocks or eyes. Before your ghost can see right through them, a report of wings leaps from the long sea of dawn and the god goes off.
Oh!
Next we have a two-hander, one slightly longer poem, so we have two people reading the one poem, which seems fair enough to me, Michael Ray and Africa Pitchy.
Waiting in Vain by Craig O'Moyen. When my daughter asked if it was God on my t-shirt, I lied and said yes. Though it was really Bob Marley. So what? He could pass. The natty halo, the prophetic eyes, the righteous look of someone who might be crucified or go into exile at any time. And who can blame her for wanting a picture of God? We all crave one. Just a snapshot to keep in the wallet next to the kids. Yep, this is my big guy. See his burning bush of dreads, the smouldering spliff between his fingers. He's quite a footballer, but his biggest talent is saving the world. Instead, all we get are glimpses. Like that night in the VW with Marley in the cassette deck and Mimi in my lap, wriggling to the walking bass, double skank guitar, stoking up the goosebump, backbeat, open hi-hat, offbeat, underneath the choppy organ shuffle, call and response, the love-dub, one-drop liturgy, rhythm, rhythm, all about the pulsing rhythm, pushing in on quarter four, 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 like that, baby, like that, moonlight pouring through the open window, and the smell of milkweed on her breath. Now that was a look across the River Jordan, or so the prophets would say. I could tell my daughter that night that that was the night she got her start. Then I'd have to tell her the minor chord stuff, the weeping and the wailing stuff, how we didn't want her.
How we stayed awake, plotting her demise. How we sat in a clinic waiting room, hiding our young faces in old magazines, the purgatory of Fox News on the overhead TV. How we couldn't get our feet to move when the nurse called Mimi's name. how Mantovani's orchestra mutilated Let It Be as the elevator descended like the angel Gabriel, moving us from one life to another while we looked away from each other's eyes. I'd have to tell her about the time spent walking circles in the desert, trying to build an altar at every godforsaken turn in the marriage, looking for a sign from God in every date night, fortune cookie, how we waited in line at the liquor store for cigarettes and lotto tickets, waited in line at church for a cracker and a tongue, waited in line at movies to find a story in the dark. But then I'd get to the part about her, how she arrived like a familiar four on the floor, baseline, a remembered backbeat in our chests, the same cross stick snare, the dominant chord in minor form, how her hunger and wailing woke us up, how our hunger and wailing led us back, how the same voice keeps calling from the wilderness, calling, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want.
I've got a tune going around my head now, Liam. Yeah, everyone does. Okay, we've got five people left, right?
Whose poem was it?
Bob Marley? Whose poem was it for Bob Marley?
Craig Van Royen.
South African poet. Okay, Rab Urquhart, please.
I'm not that sure.
You're exactly that sure.
My father was a farmer. From up on the Carrick Border, carefully he raised me in dignity and order. He bade me act a manly part, though I never had a farthing before. Without an honest manly heart, no man was worth regarding. So out into the world, my course I did determine, though to be rich was not my pitch, to be great was charming. My talents, they were not the worst, nor yet my education. Resolved was I at least to try to mend my situation. Threw money away in vain essay, I courted fortune's favour. Some cause unseen still stepped between to frustrate each endeavour. Sometimes by friends, sometimes by foes I was overpowered, sometimes by friends forsaken, and when my hope was at the top, I still was most mistaken, and then sore harassed and tired at last with fortune's vain delusion, I dropped my schemes like idle dreams, and I came to this conclusion. The past is dead, the future hid, it's good or ill untried, but the present hour is in my power, and so I will enjoy it.
Enjoy it, guys. Enjoy it. We've only got four poets left, and then we're going to head over to the wine bar around the corner. Stanley Knott.
A short one. It's why a man who goes under the pseudonym or some sort of pseudonym of the Jock Scott experience, it's not Rab, though it could be. Knock, knock. Who's there? Bob. Bob who? Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's knocking on my front door. Knock, knock, knocking on my front door. Neil Young called and said you were in town and that he had a pint with you the night before. Said maybe you'd get in touch and know you're knocking on my front door. Knock, knock, knocking on my front door. Bob Dylan's knocking on my front door. I threw a sump down with the keys. They bounced off your harmonica holder. But you caught them with your knees. Jeez. This kind of thing had never happened to me before. Bob Dylan's knocking on my front door. I let Bob in. He put me at my ease. We chewed the fat, shot the breeze. Put the world to right, and then he made to leave. Bob, take this pint off of me. I can't drink it anymore. and getting drunk too drunk to see because you came knocking on my front door. Knock, knock, knocking on my front door. Bob Dylan's knocking on my front door.
Thank you, Brian. Just three left. Kieran McCartan. Where is he? There, somewhere. There he is.
So there's a man published in that anthology launch tonight who's no longer with us. Great friend to O'Hale, Owen Murray. He won the 5-word challenge on the 6th of July and he died 6 weeks later. And now the brown paper chapbook Survivor is Genius, and so I'm going to read a poem by him. This is called A Young Man Deliberates on Love and What to Do with It. Slink away. Go down on the ground. Ground the electricity of too many thoughts, static and inert. Your love is a child. Your love has no eyes. Your love only sees your love, and only sees with your love. So how, why, when will, should you give in to, accept your love? Unrequited, your love is your love. Requited, your love is your love. When you're in love, when you see in love, can you find an agent to act on your behalf? To act on behalf of love? Who can / do you find? And the old psychiatrist, the old anti-psychiatry psychiatrist said, life is for the living. Life is to struggle, to hurt, to distance yourself, to hide away is death, is to die. I've seen too many people get hurt once and say never again. No. That is not the way. And you know that's true because your heart says so. Says I told you so. Says all a heart can say. Says love. Love in spite of friends' advice. Love in spite of friends' advice. Love in spite of any songwriter's advice. Love like you have no brain. People try to control things, he said. This cannot be done. So love, and speak of love, and write love 1,000 times until it's no longer a cliche. A woman enters the train, shivering, crying. I didn't look at her. I wasn't facing her direction. Someone's taking care of it. There's nothing I can do. This weekend I might see you leaning over a cup of coffee into what I'm saying. Thank you. Bye.
Very done. Super done. Thank you, Kira. Okay, our penultimate guest for tonight is the one and only Billy Mantle.
I was going to read a poem by Pablo Neruda, but then I changed my mind. So this is a poem by Daw Harding. mad heart. She said that I was mad, though I knew it. It wasn't nice to hear it, but I was mad about her, and if she knew it, I doubt if she could bear it. So I'll keep my madness to myself. So I'll dance, mad heart dance, and let my sleeve wear it.
We would have been evicted already, Craig. You know, ages it. It's way over, isn't it?
It's way over.
It's way over. That's 76.
Let's go back. Go back.
Listen, we're going to have to bail out of here when our next and final act is done. And then we're just going to go around the corner. You can follow us all if you like. It's a wine bar with, you know, snacks and this and the other. And, yay. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. It's been a great night. To end it off, we have Mihai Weber.
It's not my tune, obviously. It's Mozart tonight. We call him the Bob Marley of Renaissance.
I love it. Ow.